to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And what an amazing person I have sitting next to me. Hank Evers, Director of Development and Communication for the Orange Catholic Foundation, someone I've gotten to know over the last few years, who has done incredible work. I see the Holy Spirit flowing through him. Welcome to the show, Hank.
Oh, Deacon Steve, it's my pleasure. I've got to tell you, I'm delighted to be with you today.
It is such an amazing thing having you here. And I would just say that without a shadow of a doubt, the work that you have done, certainly in the conference on business ethics, but also on Christ Cathedral, I want to start out by saying we are so blessed to have this amazing campus and what is going on with soon to be, it'll be here before you know it, right? The dedication of the new cathedral. Tell us about what's going on.
Well, it's really hard to believe, Deacon Steve, that we're actually at a juncture now where it's less than a year. We can count down the months, the weeks, and the days, and trust me, we are. On our website, we have it down to the minutes. The dedication of Christ Cathedral will occur on July 17 of next year. So, again, we're looking at a little over 11 months, and that's coming up quickly.
It is, having had a little preview with, I believe it was Legatus that was able to walk through it, it's going to be beyond comprehension. I mean, I think people from all over the country, all over the world are going to come and worship here and really be transformed by the building, by the holiness. And tell us about what has changed.
Oh, so much has. In fact, if someone has not been on the campus in the past few months, they'd be amazed to see what has transpired. Just within the cathedral alone, we have had over 1 million pounds of scaffolding erected inside. And that was necessary, again, to handle the window structures, to handle the painting, to manage the installation of these quatrefoils. I don't know if you're familiar with what quatrefoils are, but they're really amazing. I mean, they are going to make one of the biggest differences in that iconic building than anything else. We have in the structure alone nearly 11,000 windows. And as you can imagine, here in Southern California, it can be rather warm during the day and very bright. And as a consequence, it gets hot inside. So what the architects did was to design something called a quatrefoil that is a unit going over each of the windows. Many of the quatrefoils are different with their openings. A quatrefoil doesn't really cover the entire window. It still allows light to come through and gives you that airy feeling. But if you were to emit light inside the cathedral without the quatrefoil, the light goes right through the glass. But with the quatrefoil, it reflects back. And that allows you to create an ambiance inside at night that's amazing. During the day, it keeps out a tremendous amount of the sunlight, ergo the heat. The quatrefoils are designed to enhance the acoustics as well. So they're really affecting the cathedral significantly. And this is the greatest part. Each quatrefoil has with it LED lighting. And the LED lighting, of course, being an LED, is adjustable. So it can be brighter, it can be dimmer, we can change colors, etc. And the LED lights, when they're on at night, can take this, again, beautiful structure that can be seen from such a distance and turn it into what many of us refer to as a box of stars. And that's what it looks like. It's just magnificent, stunning.
Awesome, awesome.
It is, yeah.
We are so blessed to have Hank Evers, Director of Development and Communication for the Orange Catholic Foundation, intimately involved here with the reconstruction, dedication, and the future here of Christ Cathedral. This campus, I just feel holier. I feel more connected with the Lord in such a powerful way when I'm walking this campus. So many people need to come here, even now. You know, there's so many things to see and to be part of worship services. There's things going on all the time. The cultural center they can visit, right? And tell us more about today they can come here.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And let me give you an example and the listeners an idea of what we have. So in May, we had the Conference on Business and Ethics, and our keynote speaker was Cardinal Dolan. The night before, the evening or late afternoon before the conference, he came over to our campus for a tour, and I was amazed. I had the opportunity to give him the tour, and at several points during the tour outside of the cathedral, he was just stunned. I mean, he literally stopped, and he said, this is amazing. I always think about, you know, Christ Cathedral, the Crystal Cathedral is this building, this, and he pointed to it. And he said, and that's magnificent. But he said, you know, he's looking around, all around him, at 35 acres, at six other buildings, and at all the activities that are taking place here. And, you know, he just shook his head. And it affirmed what he had said nearly, I guess it would have been at least 5 years ago. He was quoted as saying that this campus, through the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, has the potential of being one of the most significant Catholic centers for new evangelization in the United States. And there's no question, because when we talk about what happens on this campus on a daily basis, and it's 7 days a week, there are activities that are so diverse and wonderful, and all of them in line with evangelization and faith formation. I mean, right here, we are sitting in a studio on the eighth floor of the Tower of Hope. Right by us is an EWTN television station or television studio that is state of the art. I mean, absolutely one of the finest. Father Spitzer's Universe is videoed from there, actually broadcast live every Wednesday on EWTN. And this program and other programs are recorded and broadcast from here. Just upstairs from us is the Magis Center. And we have the Augustine Institute up there. We have the Dynamic Catholic resident here as well. This building is becoming a center of sort of the intersection, I would say, of faith and reason. You know, so many people are coming to the campus that from all over the world, including other faiths. There are people of other faiths and people of no faith that come here because it's so interesting. And so we have opportunities to evangelize, and that's exciting too.
This entire atmosphere here is the personification of the light of Christ. It is the light of Christ in the buildings, the people, the grounds, the atmosphere, everything happening here, which is so exciting, my brothers and sisters. Come see us here at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, and it is an amazing experience. But another amazing experience is attending this incredible conference on business ethics. I have to say, having been a senior executive in healthcare for many years, it is so refreshing and rewarding to have a conference honoring people who are living out their life in business. This is unique, I think, across the country, maybe across the world, in the sense of how you do it. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to do that and to share with the listening audience what we have been doing and will continue to do. This is an annual event. In fact, this year, we held our 16th annual conference on business and ethics. It was at the Hotel Irvine, capacity attendance. In fact, we sold out several weeks in advance, and we had some wonderful sponsors. And when I say the bottom line, I'll jump to the bottom line. What this is all about, it's really a two-pronged objective. One, of course, we bring together the leaders in our community, not just Catholic, but, you know, again, the real leadership from business and education. And to hear from prominent individuals speak on the values of ethics in the business environment. And I have a few examples I'd love to share with you. But the other objective is to raise money for Catholic education. And I'm speaking specifically elementary education and for those who want so desperately to attend a Catholic school but can't afford it. And there are so many in Orange County in our diocese. So, no, we've been blessed. We were able to raise over $700,000 at a breakfast.
Incredible.
It is. The Orange County Business Journal ranked us the number one nonprofit breakfast event in Orange County 5 years in a row, which is saying a lot, quite honestly, because we're up against a lot of other major organizations like Chalk and what have you. But we raise that, and we keep our costs down. We were able this year to take 80% of the net proceeds, and the net proceeds this year were close to $550,000. 80% of those funds fund tuition assistance the following school year. 20% of the net proceeds go into an endowment fund for tuition assistance. So if we look at that, if we take the $550,000, I mean, we have well over 300 to maybe 350 children that otherwise could not attend a Catholic school able to attend. 300, 350, that's the equivalent of some schools, you know. So I think that's a tremendous blessing. I really do.
Catholic education that we'll be talking about is so critical from a standpoint of catechesis, from a standpoint of holiness, of spiritual growth. It's so critical that we understand that we have to support Catholic education. The tie-in to the conference on business ethics, you know, how does that tie together from your perspective?
What we're doing is really creating for the community better citizens and better workers. That's really the bottom line.
Amen.
When these children come out of a Catholic elementary school, the probability, especially if you take the at-risk areas, those zip codes, the Santa Ana and Anaheim areas, you know, there are some really, really challenged areas. And compare the students that matriculate from elementary school, 100% of them from Catholic go to high school. And not only that, but it's like better than 99% go to college. And of those, it's over 90% that graduate. If you compare that to public education, it's amazing.
Can I give a shout out to Santa Margarita Catholic High School?
Oh, you certainly may.
Okay. All three of my children went there, and my daughter was valedictorian.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
But I will say it led to a foundation of great colleges, great careers, and so forth. And I can't say enough. I went to Loyola Marymount. I did not have the pleasure of going undergraduate or under high school and so forth, Catholic education. But I wanted to make sure my children did. And what a difference it makes as it relates to their ethics, as it relates to really their understanding of their faith, and just the prioritization at when they got in the business.
I can attest to that as well. You know, when we look at our own children and how they have progressed, I'll give you an example. I have one of my sons graduated from Mater Dei, top of his class, went on with a full scholarship to USC. He graduated top of his class from Mater Dei.
Awesome.
So please,
we're proud
that
daddies,
was
right?
That, oh, we are. That was like winning the lottery.
Right.
But here's another one. My only daughter. I have three sons and one daughter. But my daughter graduated from J. Sarah and went on to Oregon, University of Oregon, received her undergraduate degree in education. And here, this one just really melts my heart. She's right now 24 years old. She graduated from University of Oregon, signed up for LMU's Place Corps, very similar to Notre Dame's ACE program. For 2 years, she lived in a convent in community in Los Angeles, right by the Coliseum in one of the roughest areas around. 2 full years, went to school at night, taught at an inner city school in Boyle Heights.
Wow.
And got her master's degree and then was offered, she was offered the sky. She could come back to Orange County and teach in Dana Point if she wanted, right? Do you think she would? No way. She's still in Boyle Heights. She won't leave it. Those are her kids. And that, I think, is what speaks volumes about the quality, the ethic, the characteristics, the values that are taught and really ingrained in a Catholic school.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we'll be right back. You're on Empowered by the Spirit to talk more about the value of Catholic education. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are here high atop the Tower of Hope with Hank Evers, Director of Development and Communication for the Orange Catholic Foundation. We've been talking about the value of this amazing breakfast, the Conference on Business and Ethics, that really support Catholic education. And, you know, I try to go to as many as I can. The last few years have been absolutely unbelievable with that you've had Vince Scully and obviously Cardinal Dolan and so forth. But tell us more about it.
Well, you know, this past year was really terrific. Earlier we were talking about the impact that a keynote, that address can make, the impact that can be made on the business community and our leadership. And this year, for example, Cardinal Dolan did such an excellent job. His talk was titled, "Does the Church Have Anything to Say About Business?" Well, he nailed it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He was very clear that in business, we're all called to make a difference or make money to make a difference. You know, unlike the common misconception that money is the root of all evil, which it is not, he explained that money is morally neutral. And, you know, depending on how it's used, that's really the key. And he stated, he gave us 4 principles or points, practical implications, you might say, of the church's economic teachings. He said, 1, money is not God. 2, people must always be before the profit. 3, the economy should be used to enrich oneself for individual and common good. And 4, meeting the needs of the poor should always be among the priorities. So, you know, you can't beat that. But he did it in his own inimical, amazing, humorous way. And I want to share with all of your listeners, Deacon Steve, that his talk, and you mentioned Vin Scully, Patricia Heaton, that was last year, and even Father Dave Dwyer and others, all those talks we record. You know, we have videos of those, and they're on our website at www.orangecatholicfoundation.org. So, you know, everybody, if you couldn't make it to the conference, you can still.
And we strongly recommend that you listen to them. They're amazing, and they help life-changing experiences. They really are.
Yeah. So, you know, along with that, though, we had as an MC and a really good talk. We had Father Dave Dwyer, and I liken him to you. He has a great radio program, the Busted Halo program, on the Catholic Channel. And what he did is something that I think you could do, Deacon Steve. And he had kind of just, the anthology. He pulled together a list of some of his favorite books for the authors that he had interviewed and talked about.
Right.
And he shared that as a resource for those that were attending.
Great idea.
So that's on the website as well. Yeah, I think that's good. But we always have two exemplary business leaders. And this was the year of Tim's, by the way. We had Cardinal Timothy Dolan, and our two Bishop's Award honorees were Tim Buckley, he's the CEO of Vintage Design, and Tim Strader, the chairman of Starpoint Ventures. So, yeah, it was the year of Tim's, but it was a great year. And we brought in, this was so fun too, this was a last minute thing. You know how sometimes, yeah, you shoot for the stars and, you know, you hope that you're going to be able to do some little extras to add value. Well, this year, literally the day before the conference, I received a video that I had asked for from Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt from Loyola Chicago.
Oh, what a video.
Was that cool?
Is that on the website too?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Amazing.
She's the basketball chaplain, and she's known as the Bracket Buster. She was just terrific.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a brief video, but really cool.
Tell those that don't know who she is, tell the audience who she is.
Oh, yeah. So she is, I'm trying to think, I don't have it written down. She's probably 90, roughly
yes,
90 years
90,
old.
90s, yeah, 90s.
But sharp as a tack.
Right.
And great sense of humor, delightful individual. But known as the Bracket Buster, she's out there in a wheelchair at every game.
Loyola Chicago,
yeah.
Right.
And cheering them on. And, you know, Loyola Chicago did a remarkable job. I mean, they were the Cinderella
Sweet 16,
team.
I think.
They did a wonderful job. So anyway, she made a lot of news.
Oh, yeah. She was amazing, you know. And that's, again, a byproduct of Catholic education, which is so important. You know, I want to focus on another thing for those in the area or to fly out to Orange County. When is the next year's? Do we have a date?
We do. So the save the date right now is Wednesday, April 3rd.
And I'll be here before you know it. Okay.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Wednesday, April 3rd. Yeah. So here's one of the great values. You mentioned like 1,000 people, right, roughly?
Mm-hmm.
I like to think I know quite a few people, and Mark McElrath, someone that we both know.
One of my favorite people.
I like to give him a shout out. Santiago Retreat Center, a little commercial, but he probably knows as many people as anybody I've ever met.
I agree.
And we were talking about what is our percent of people that we knew of the 1,000, and the reality was it wasn't a high percent. Even Mark, you know. And the point is, what a networking opportunity to meet other people that are striving for holiness, wanting to bring Jesus into their school, workplace, whatever it might be, and to network. And, you know, we don't have enough of those kinds of things, I think, that are kind of cross-pollinization.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, because lots of times there are different organizations have different functions, but they kind of know each other for the most part. Mm-hmm. But here, people didn't necessarily know each other, and there's time to meet and greet and so forth that you built in. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity. It really is for so many people in business to network. We actually put together an opportunity for a variety of ministries and related businesses to have even tabletops out in the lobby. So, you know, people that are arriving, they register, they get ready, we offer coffee, et cetera. And they can go through this area and learn a little bit more about the various industries. And, of course, they see people they haven't seen in a long time. They're introduced to new people. And then, again, just being placed at a table, those that purchase tickets, not a table where you would know everybody, but there are so many tickets that are purchased for this, they're placed at tables where they have an opportunity to meet people that have common interests, but again, individuals that otherwise they wouldn't have had that opportunity. And then we have a break. We build in a break specifically for the networking to give people that opportunity. So it works very well.
It was amazing for me, you know, pick up different business cards and talk to them about what we're doing and getting guests on the show and so forth.
Yes.
I mean, it really is a great opportunity. But business ethics, living our faith, is so critical. And I want to emphasize that. Being an executive in healthcare for, you know, about 30-some years, I feel very strongly that we live our faith each and every day. It's not like, oh, well, now I'm on Sunday or I'm at a church event and all of a sudden now I have the persona of, you know, Deacon Steve or the Catholic deacon. No, every single day that we're wherever we are, school, work, whatever it might be, we live the values of Jesus. We're the light of Christ. And I believe very strongly this diocese, this church teaches that. But this conference, this breakfast really reinforces that.
It does. And I think you're going to see that I'll give you an example. This year when we honored Tim Buckley, Tim had a great example. He shared, and I've got to tell you, there are executives that I've spoken to since that are so interested in doing what he has been doing for a number of years, and he shared with them, and that is this. He said, I can't remember how many years ago, but he said that at one point he decided that this typical company Christmas party where everybody drinks and, you know, problems occur, they say things they shouldn't, do things they shouldn't, and it's just, you know, they usually turn out to be an abysmal event. He said, no. He said he wanted to do something different, and so he did. He invited his employees, his vendors, everyone, right, that's related in business to the Christmas party, which was a mass. It started with a mass.
Awesome.
Right? Is that amazing or what? I mean, these are Catholics and non-Catholics.
Awesome.
Yeah, and yes, they celebrate Christmas, but really they celebrate Christmas. They don't just drink their way into Christmas. And I think that's amazing. So you get ideas. You learn from others. Let me just share with you what the qualifications are for these honorees. I mean, we don't just pick people at random and give them this award. No, we really look into this and vet them. But here's what's so important. The qualifications include being successfully recognized in the community in business. You have to be either a CEO in that position, own the company, be a high-ranking executive, etc. That's important. But most important is that you have to demonstrate positive examples of ethical practice in all aspects of their lives. And that's what you were talking about, Deacon Steve. It's not just, you know, do they go to Mass on Sunday? Are they really good employers? Are they really good at home? I mean, it's across the board. Do they live a Catholic life? And the gentlemen and the ladies that we have honored all do. There's no question about that. And they're able to share with everyone what those ethical leadership qualities are, how they do this. And, you know, if you go back, I mentioned earlier this past was the 16th annual. It goes back to 2003. The first honoree was Carl Karcher.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many listeners out there know this, but Carl Karcher founded Carl's Jr., and I think he would roll over in his grave if he saw some of the commercials recently. He has since, you know, sold the company. It's not a Karcher family business anymore.
Right.
But there are so many wonderful people. Lynette Walker, who headed up St. Joseph Health, Rand Sperry, Marie Gray from St. John Nitz. You know, some names. There are some names out there. Lucy Dunn, the Orange County Business Council, the head of that. Rob Neal, the list goes on. Dr. Jackie DuPont, I think so many people in the community know her and love her. This is just one of the most giving, wonderful people that I've ever met. So, you know, you're right. It's these are very special people.
They're very special people, but my brothers and sisters, you are also a very special person, and you can make a big difference as it relates to what you can do at your workplace and your environment. I know an example, Hank, was we were going to have a fortune teller at a picnic, summer picnic for the company I was with. And I went to the CEO and the head of human resources. I said, that's, you know, fortune telling is against the faith that we have. And I'd prefer that it be kept out. And it was kept out, you know, and other things that can happen. Really, you can bring in public companies, you'd be surprised what you can do. Now, again, there's this separation, but ask, you know, and make sure that things that are against our faith are not something that you do. For example, I was, again, in healthcare and in charge of marketing and selling different products and services in pharmaceuticals and in devices. And I was asked to market an IUD. And it was a $50 million contract, and I turned it down. And, of course, the senior people in the company, a big, big French company, they weren't real happy with me. But you know what happened as a result of that? All of a sudden, I got all these new contracts, and it was amazing. So this is Deacon Steve Grecker. We're going to talk more about Catholic education, business ethics. We come right back. We are on Empowered by the Spirit.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
This is Deacon Steve Grecker. We are high atop the Tower of Hope, and we are back with Hank Evers, Director of Development and Communication for the Orange Catholic Foundation. And we're talking about this very important subject, two subjects, business ethics and also the value of Catholic education that comes out of this incredible breakfast conference on business ethics. And at the last breakfast, there was a daughter and mother that showed up on stage that was just amazing. Tell us about that.
Oh, I'd love to. I really would. So what I started doing a few years back was sharing with those that attend the conference a return on their investment. I think it's important because, again, everybody who is attending is, in a sense, very much contributing. It's tax deductible, by the way. A portion of even your ticket is tax deductible. So, hey, if that's an investment, I want to show you a return on the investment. And for the past few years, I've had graduates, former graduates of our Catholic schools, elementary school, high school, that were able to demonstrate in their lives what they've been able to accomplish thanks to the Catholic education. And these are individuals that would not have been able to do so without the financial support. So I'll backtrack a little bit. So earlier last year, I was going to work, and my office is on Christ Cathedral campus in the Pastoral Center, which is adjacent to Christ Cathedral Academy. And as I saw this several times, but I would leave my car and walk to the right-hand side of the building. On the left is the school, and I would see this woman in a wheelchair. And walking alongside her was this cute little girl in the school uniform. She looked to be maybe a first grader, kindergarten first grader. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. You know, the mom takes her, and they probably live around the corner, whatever, you know, that type of thing. And then I learned that this woman, she's a quadriplegic, lives in Riverside. And her daughter had started at Christ Cathedral at the age of 3, preschool. Her mother had been taking her to school from Riverside in a wheelchair.
Amazing.
Onto a train, from a train to a bus, from a bus on the wheelchair to the school. And I was amazed. So I said, you know, I went to the principal, Debbie Vallis, and I said, Debbie, can I meet them? I have to meet them. You know, I really want, in fact, I'd like to write a story about Grace, the girl, and the mom, you know. And so I did. It appeared in the Orange County Catholic, and it was called A Story of Grace. And really, it's, you know, you think about it, there will, many of us will drive some distance to have our kids attend, children attend a Catholic school. But wow, what a distance they have. So the story is this. She begins in the morning at 6 o'clock. They ride to the, they leave home and they go to the train station, which is about an eighth of a mile from where they live. They do that, whether it's raining or not, take the train to the bus, etc. They do it even regardless of weather, and they've been doing it since she was three. So from three to first grade, bottom line, three full years, never once have they been late. Is that amazing? I mean, that I think is really, really incredible.
That is amazing, and the dedication and the Holy Spirit flowing through them, incredible.
Well, one of the things I recall that Sharon had said, Sharon's the mom, and she said that that Grace is just amazing. She woke her up one morning, and she said that Grace just didn't want to get out of bed, and Sharon said to her, well, fine, you know, you can go to the public school down the street if you want. And wow, she said, Grace jumped out of bed, got ready, and she was, you know, ready to go in minutes. So
when they were both on stage, I have to share this, the poise and maturity of Grace. And she's how old again?
Yeah, right now she's 7.
Yeah. It was incredible, right?
Right.
The love that she had for her mother, the love for Jesus. You know, again, a byproduct of Catholic education.
Clearly.
And the family together.
Clearly. Yeah. They have to work in tandem. And when they do, the results, well, we've seen it. We know. It's just amazing.
You know, Catholic education, some people look at it as, well, maybe not necessary. It is so critical to our faith. Catechesis, understanding what we believe in. And the Catholic schools, as demonstrated actually by a recent report that the Orange Catholic Foundation will be, I guess it's not published quite yet, or?
Actually, but yes. When our
listeners when this is
here,
aired, it'll be
right,
out.
It'll be out, and you'll be able to review the 2017 annual report for the Orange Catholic Foundation on our website, which is orangecatholicfoundation.org.
And you take a look at page 12, report card on our Catholic schools. I wish they could read this, but they'll be able to see it on the website and so forth. But tell us about it, because it is a comparison between Catholic schools and public schools.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people would be shocked by the results of this.
Well, you know, so many people think of Catholic schools as, this is where I would want my children to go, because they're going to receive the type of love and care, they're going to be safe, and all these things are true. This is wonderful. They're going to get that, but they're going to receive not just love, but they're going to learn the values. They're going to be better characters. But what we learned is that during the school year commencing 2017, the elementary schools here, Catholic and public, were tested for proficiencies in reading and math. And this was against established standards. And the comparison with public schools showed that, and I'll just give you an example, in if we take a look at the reading comparison and the standards met, the Catholic schools, 46% were in the standards met category for the Catholic. These are Catholic students, compared to the public school at 30%. And in the math area, standards met, 38% Catholic students met the standards, and only 22% of the public schools did. So once again, what this underscores is that there's so much. It's a holistic program. A child that attends a Catholic school receives the nurturing They receive the opportunity to grow closer to Christ while they're receiving an outstanding education. What more could you ask for?
And as a parent, right? I mean, you want that for your children, your grandchildren. And just to take a look at these graphs, just to clarify a little bit more, you mentioned the standard, but if you look at standard and standard exceeded and add them together, it's 81% for Catholic schools and only 58% for public schools in the reading. And again, somewhat comparable in the math area. And so those are amazing marks. And, you know, we think of Catholic schools and sometimes people think, well, maybe they're not at the same standard as some of the better public schools, but they're, look at Orange Diocese. I mean, look at the high schools. We were bragging, you know,
oh,
two brag dads, right? Bragging about their kids.
Big time.
But
yeah.
The reality is we are so proud of them, but that was the result of Catholic education.
Yeah, I think you said earlier, and this is very important, we can't rely on the school to do everything. I mean, so much comes at the home, the responsibility of the parents, the nurturing that takes place there, the faith formation. But at a Catholic school, it's just incredible the value that is derived by the students.
You know, one of the things that we talked about, too, and you talked about this with Cardinal Dolan, is the outreach to the poor as a deacon. Obviously, we're heavy outreach ministry, and that's a big part of our charism and what we are to do. But at high schools and Catholic educational schools, the focus on the poor, the focus on giving, the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy, but doing something in society to make a difference. I mean, that's something very important.
Oh, my gosh. I think a great example, I was speaking about my daughter, but, you know, she had throughout the years come up with programs, ideas that she shared and worked on that were outreach. Things like she had the idea once that I just loved and began, and could have turned into, I think, a significant ministry, but it was collecting First Communion dresses from wealthier families, you know, again, like South County families that weren't used anymore, you know, afterward, and donating those to those that really need them so they could have the beautiful dress, right? Just little things like that. But, and I'm not saying there aren't great, great kids, and there are some marvelous kids and wonderful, wonderful programs that public school students can get into, but you're much more prone. The probability, the correlation is much higher at a Catholic school.
Well, it is this awareness, this environment of giving, of making a difference. Mm-hmm. And it led to one of my children defending the poor as it relates as an attorney, you know, and working with, in many cases, the poorest of the poor. My daughter, who has lung cancer, stage 4, we pray for her, Laura. Mm-hmm. But she is an advocate for lung cancer research, is working with the government, working to make a difference. And my youngest works for the Catholic Church and using his talents after graduating from Claremont McKenna, you know, a top school. And he's making, you know, not a huge amount of money. But the point is that they're all giving back in their own way. And Catholic education teaches us that it isn't about us. It's about serving God. It's loving God, giving of our time, talent, and treasure.
It is. It really is. And I think a really great example of that, too, is someone that is very close to you, too, and that's Andrew Laubacher.
Oh!
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, and people like that, an individual like that, he, you talk about giving back. He's not just giving back. He's doing that on steroids. I mean, he's bringing so many to Christ through his actions. And he's doing it in a very, as I see it, a very selfless way. You know, he's talented. The Lord gave him these gifts and he's taken the gifts and he's trying to take those gifts to a new height. And I, you know, here, I'm a little bit older than the typical crowd that goes to his events, but I've stopped in, you know, because I had to see, and I was so impressed. I mean, so impressed with the effect that he has had on so many of our youth.
And we're so thrilled to have Andrew as part of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts.
Yeah.
And we thank the Diocese of Orange for the monthly events. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And again, the value of Catholic education when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Hank Evers, Director of Development Communication, Orange Catholic Foundation. And we have been talking about this incredible campus, what's been going on, and you were nice enough to mention our mutual close friend, Andrew Laubacher, ALOP, and the incredible things he's doing as an evangelist with his band, traveling all over the world and all over the country for sure. And working with us as Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry. And you can get us through spiritfilledhearts.org. His ministry called Firelight is part of our new website. And we have some amazing events coming up on September 13th, Thursday night, at the Freed Theater here on campus. Will be another worship night with Andrew and his band. And we always have speakers. We've had Bishop Tim Fryer here. We've had amazing speakers, but that's what's going on campus all the time. The book club, you know, these incredible speakers, you know, ALOB, and on and on and on. What you're doing here is amazing.
It is. It's really, it's never ending. And we're only limited to our own imaginations. I mean, my gosh, let me give you an example of some of the things that, you know, you wouldn't think that a Catholic parish or a cathedral campus would do. And yet we did, and did well. So, for example, Bruno Serrato, he's a chef, and he owns the White House restaurant, which last year had burnt down in February. And Bruno is he's a CNN hero. He's an amazing guy. In fact, he was an honoree at the Conference on Business and Ethics in, I think it was 2014. He feeds just, you know, thousands of kids every day, 365 days a year. So here's this guy who's doing these wonderful things. His restaurant burns down, and he's crushed. It's not just his business, but he was crying that day because he was concerned about not being able to feed the kids. His restaurant's gone, his kitchen. So that day, I spoke to him. Bishop Van spoke to him. We offered him that day the kitchen here on our campus to, again, just continue this program. It's called Katerina's Club. But you can keep doing this, Bruno. You know, so he was so gratified. He did it. He continued. Well, there's a radio station out there, KFI. KFI Radio happens to love Bruno. And for the past some number of years, maybe 3 or 4 years, they've been holding a pastathon. They call it a pastathon. In December, they hold this to raise money and to allow people to drop off pasta and even sauce. So, you know, they used to have this at the White House restaurant. They have celebrities come by, and KFI broadcasts from 6:30 in the morning till 10 p.m. All of the celebs are there. So for this past year, they didn't have the location. So we offered our cultural center. And it just so happened that the day they selected was December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And our mother, in her incredible wisdom, just inspired myself and our chancellor, who at the time was not our chancellor, Pia De Solani. And Pia and I kicked this one around, and we said, hey, there's going to be thousands of people on our campus that day that, they're going to be of different faiths, and there's going to be a lot of people of no faith. But what if we could do something to really evangelize and maybe bring some lapsed Catholics back? How could we do this? Well, we came up with some ideas, and we did it. In the quad area, right off the quad area, we set up out in the grass. We had three stations. When I say stations, three small tables with a little centerpiece and two chairs, one on each side. These were for confession. And we made a big sign. We had the sign in the quad area so that anybody coming to see the celebrities and the KFI personalities or to drop off the pasta or make a donation would see the sign saying confessions with an arrow. Well, you wouldn't believe it. I hardly believed it. At 7:30 in the morning, we had a line of people waiting to go to confession, which was so marvelous, so marvelous. And I had printed a guide to confession in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese and had them on a table out there. And so I was standing out there, and one of my favorite moments of the day, a woman came over to me and she said, excuse me. She said, I haven't been to confession in so long, I just don't know what to do. And I just looked at her, I smiled, and I said, you don't have to worry, the priest will help you. But I said, here, while you're waiting, take a look at this. And it had the meditations and a little guide for confession, and she stood in line and went to confession. So how many people did we hopefully bring a little closer or bring back? I don't know. But it was wonderful, and it happened because of this campus. Now, we also, we then had a mass. So I asked Bishop Van to celebrate the Eucharist at noon that day, and he did in the large gallery, which, you know, is all glass so people could see it, and we had a sign out there. And I was amazed. Again, we had a really good turnout, and these are people who were just, you know, who knows where they were coming from, because KFI, I mean, they're one of the largest, you know, radio audiences out there in Southern California. So we had a really good turnout for that. Now, we had Dynamic Catholic, who happens to be here on campus. Dynamic Catholic gave us free, of course, a large accoutrement, just all these different books, wonderful books on Catholicism, some real simple and some more interesting. You know, I mean, all over the place. But they made them available free of charge. We put them on a table so anybody could pick them up. So, you know, all in all, I would say the day was a huge success.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the bottom line, my brothers and sisters, is the Holy Spirit is real, is moving in such a powerful way. I want to go back to reconciliation for a second, because on campus here all the time in various events are reconciliation, obviously, as part of the sacrament that is available here. What is so important to understand is that God has forgiven you, my brothers and sisters. Take a look at Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God loves us passionately, and he has called you to listen to this show. In John 15:16, it says, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and appointed you to bear fruit. You have been appointed to make a difference. You have been appointed to be the light of Christ. You have been appointed to live out your baptism, to be priest, prophet, and king. I am so proud. You mentioned early on, Hank, about evangelization, how this is the center and cornerstone. When I was part of the For Christ Forever campaign, mm-hmm. and I was very proud of a very small parish, we got $1 million that we donated, or they donated. But so many people said, oh, we don't need it, we don't need this, we don't need that. And I kept saying, it is the center of evangelization. It is a focal point, a light, to bring cultures together, to bring people together. It's a beacon.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening here. But it's just the beginning. It's just like we're barely out of the gate, right?
Oh, my gosh. Deacon Steve, you, absolutely. So consider this. Here in this area, just within a few miles of where we're broadcasting from right here, 17 million people visit every year, right, in the city of Anaheim. It's absolutely remarkable. 17 million. They're coming here for what? They're coming here for Disneyland and for a variety of other wonderful entertainment options, but they're staying here too. And so going forward, we have an opportunity, and we will, as soon as the dedication is complete, we will begin having Mass every day at noon in the cathedral.
Wow!
Oh, yeah.
Wow!
Yeah. We're going to make that happen. We will make that happen.
And a deacon will assist occasionally.
There you go. Absolutely. But here's the thing. What we can do at that juncture is get out. We're going to get the message out at all the hotels in the area. Do you know how many hotels there are?
More all the time.
And, yes. So the concierge can have, you know, the little card.
What a great idea.
So we'll have so many visitors from throughout the country or the world that'll be coming here. And at the same time, let's not forget the businesses. I mean, I've lived in 7 different cities in this country through business in the past. And everywhere that I worked, I would always seek out the closest church so I could go to Mass if there was a noon Mass rather than just eat, i.e. grab a sandwich or whatever anytime. But I think that if we get the word out to all the local
businesses, we could do the same thing. I love it.
So, you know, on a regular basis. And now let's carry it one step further. Okay, it's a vision, but we're getting there. So hopefully, you know, if we're on schedule by the first week of Advent, it's at least a timeline we're shooting for, we should have a gift shop on campus. Wouldn't that be great?
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, down the road, if we begin to attract enough people on the campus, why would we not consider, it's an idea, but why would we not consider having like a bistro down by the atrium?
It works for me.
Coffee and sandwiches, things like that. So we can make available to the local community, meaning the business community, an opportunity if they have the time for Mass, for maybe a lunch, a cup of coffee, and even stop by our gift shop.
So I've been so blessed to be on the steering committee for the Diocese on Evangelization. And what is evangelization, my brothers and sisters? It means good news, but it's about invitation.
Yes.
Inviting people to coffee, to Mass, to a lunch, to whatever it might be on campus, to a book club, whatever it might be. It's be a person of invitation. This campus, what you're about, is about invitation. And you're making such a big difference, Hank, in our lives. And thank you for your yes. Thank you for all that you do to build the church, to help us get closer to Christ. And thank you for being on the show. Any final words to our listening audience?
Oh, my gosh. I've got to tell you, Deacon Steve, it's a pleasure to be able to share whatever I can with everyone and to be given the opportunity to say yes to Jesus every moment of every day, to live in the moment and to be able to make the most of it, giving him glory. There's nothing better. The more that we're given, the more that we can give. And I'm just so pleased to be able to give back whatever I can. So thank you for having me here.
Freely received and freely given is what we're about. We receive the graces of the Lord, and we are freely to give them away.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful man, Hank. We thank you for all the servants that you have, all the religious, everywhere in our listening audience and throughout the world. We ask blessings upon them. We ask blessings on our families to be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, to release the power of the Holy Spirit, a new Pentecost upon all of us through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Padre Pio, and all holy heavenly angels and saints, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I bless you in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.